you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, August 22nd, 2025. Oh, listening friend, I hope you feel prayed up. We've been praying for you. We pray God will use this broadcast and the study of the Lord's Prayer in different ways in your life. Hopefully you'll grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and recognize God's love for you. And for 2,000 years, believers have found their footing with the words that were just said, the Lord's Prayer. It begins with our family, our Father. It reorders our priority, your name, your kingdom, your will. It trains our daily trust, give us today. It heals relationships, forgive us as we forgive. And it arms us for the fight, lead us not, deliver us. This isn't a formula to recite. It's a doorway into life with God. As Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church helps guide our discussion, let's lean in and pray as Jesus taught us from Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Oh, listening friends, as mentioned, I'm excited about the Lord's Prayer, Pastor Mark. I talked with you earlier this week as we talked about what we would discuss on Friday, and this is maybe one of the favorite things I like to do each and every day, and all of our friends in the studio, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, about 16 or 18 of us here, we're going to study the Lord's Prayer, but it's something that I think about and pray through daily, and I'm excited that our listeners, I think, will benefit from our discussion.
Amen. You look at the Lord's Prayer, you look at all of Matthew. Matthew is very concerned about people shifting from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of God. And we can talk about that more later. But the Lord's Prayer is showing us how to walk in the kingdom of God, how to see God, how to pray, how to get ourselves aligned with the kingdom of God.
And I like how it begins, very personal, pretty intimate, our Father. And I'm going to just throw this out to all of our listeners, our friends here. When you think of our Father, what jumps to mind? And why not say my Father? Why do you think Jesus taught us to say our Father?
It includes all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I think community is key when it comes to a Christian relationship. We cannot have relationship alone. It's always in a community, our.
And I don't know if all of you know the Hebrew practice, and this really, when I was taught this years ago, changed my way of thinking. But generally, you know, we're very independent. Most of us Americans, we think about ourselves, we think about our needs, and so we oftentimes go to God. This is my laundry list, this is what I need accomplished, or health needs, or a job. But the Jewish mindset was, Lord, maybe I'm dealing with cancer. Lord, maybe I'm dealing with needing a job. But I'm also praying for all those that also are dealing with cancer or needing a job. So the Hebrew mindset was always inclusive. Like you said, June, it was community-based. It wasn't just about yourself. It was, Lord, I need X, Y, Z, but so do other people. And so their mindset was you always prayed communally for others too. And that was a beautiful practice that I started years ago, is it's not just about me, it's about me and others. So when Jesus taught to pray, our Father, remember, it's not just exclusively for you. He's everyone's Father that calls on him, and also your prayers should include others too.
Mark, Jesus was revealing something to us here, and it's all through Scripture. He could have said, pray this way, mm-hmm. our mentor in heaven. He could have said, pray our coach in heaven. He could have said, pray our general in heaven. He could have even used other scriptural terms. He could have said, pray our Lord in heaven. He could have said, pray our creator in heaven or our teacher in heaven. But he specifically chose Father. Hmm. He chose that so that we would know how to relate to him. So I brought a rock today. It's sitting here in the middle of the table. A small rock. I can carry it around in my hand. But it's sitting there on the table. And there's none of us in this room. If I asked you to move that rock, you could pick it up with your hand and move it. But if I said, no, just move it with your mind. Just use it with a word. That rock would sit there. None of us could move that rock. How do we relate to a God who speaks and planets come into existence? How do we relate to a God who is eternal? He's always existed and always will exist. How do we relate to a God who's all-powerful and almighty? And Jesus comes and he gives us this very specific term, our Father, so we can relate to it. Now, anything that God gives us to help us understand how to relate to him, how to relate in this world, the enemy wants to corrupt it. So the enemy has tried in so many of our lives, and I'm sure there's a person listening today, that the enemy has corrupted what a father is to them. The enemy corrupts what a family is. Today, the enemy's even trying to corrupt who we are and make us identify as something that we're not. Jesus very specifically laid this out as a perfect father. So my appeal would be, as you think about this, don't let the corruption of anything that's happened in your life from a father who was flawed get in the way of seeing the Father who is perfect. And this is what Jesus is drawing. We have a Father who cares for us and is perfect.
Yeah, and he's demonstrated that great love by sending Jesus. So listening friend, I hope throughout this program, as we point to this prayer, we're going to learn more about Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Savior of your life. He cares for you. He died on the cross for your sins, for my sins, and he's teaching us how to get to know God the Father, the perfect Father. Because many of you have a great concept of Father. You grew up with a loving dad who cared and was compassionate and loving, but he at times might have failed you or not shown up to your 16th birthday or didn't give you the gift you wanted or whatever it was, and so you might have some baggage with a circumstance or a situation. But there's others of you that might not know who your father is, or maybe had an abusive father, or is a workaholic and he wasn't around, or you felt abandoned. And so we got to always be careful we don't indict God the Father, the perfect Father, the loving Father, the Father that created you with gifts and talents, with maybe an image of what our earthly dad was. So are there any other thoughts that anyone has about Father God?
I think this is an important, really important topic. My father on this earth was a great man. He was a great patriot. He was a great pastor. He was a businessman. He loved us kids completely. He wanted the best for us. He was not a perfect man. He would have said it himself to us if he was here. I'm not a perfect man. But we have a perfect father in heaven. He knows exactly what's best for us. And we can put our trust in him, and we can come to him, and he hears us. So this is opening up. Who are we talking to? We're talking to the creator of the universe who sees himself and invites us to see him in a very personal relationship. And so again, I've talked with people, Mark, that to pray our Father, they almost have to choke the words out because they have been so wounded on this earth by a father's failures. But they need to look, I just want to encourage them to look past that and not to be caught in that corruption, but to see the perfection of who the Father is, who knows you by name, who cares about your life, who wants the best for you, and has offered to give you direction and guidance and even eternal life if you come to him.
I'm going to put Bernie Lechman on the spot because I see him in our overflow room. But Bernie, you've read through the Psalms many times and written a number of books. And so when you see the word, hallowed be thy name, what do you think of when you think of God and how do you hallow his name?
I think when you see the word hallowed in the King James, think about the holiness of God. Mm-hmm. Holy is your name, magnified, lifted up. And the Bible says, without holiness, we will not see God. So we have to recognize that and then try to grow and be transformed in the renewing of our mind towards that goal. And it's a lifelong process. You don't achieve holiness overnight because we stumble and fall along the way. But in order to see God and be closer to Him and achieve even some modicum of holiness, we have to keep pressing on and daily in repentance and faith. And with that view in mind, I mean, you think about the Israelites at the foot of the mountain, Mount Sinai, could not even approach that mountain without some kind of repercussions because the holiness of God was just resounding all around them. And may that kind of holiness, may that be the same in our lives.
I've read a version that starts this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." Mm. And that evokes in me that I don't have to look anywhere else for comfort, for provision, for guidance.
When I come across, Mark, this "Hallowed be thy name" many times, especially at night, I stop and think about Revelation. And whenever I say "Hallowed be thy name," I usually say "Holy, holy, holy." I repeat that at least three times. And then I start thinking, am I living a life this day, yesterday, will I live it tomorrow, where I'm saying that throughout the day, God is holy, because part of my goal, my dream, is when I get to heaven, I'm one of those guys that's all I do. I just have the one task. I just say night and day, holy, holy, holy. But then I think, am I practicing it? Will I be ready to do that in heaven? Am I doing that every day now? I think about that a lot.
You know, I think about this when I think about "Hallowed be thy name," that this audience that Jesus was talking to were acquainted with Old Testament scripture. And so this audience would have known the compound names of God all throughout Scripture. They would have been thinking about those compound names. You know, those names that would say something like, you know, "He is God Almighty," or "He is God my provider." "He is God my banner," or "my protector." "He's God my healer." "He is God who is with me." And I believe they're being reminded, when you're going through this prayer time, when you enter into that prayer time and you think about the glory of God and who He is, what He is to us, everything we need is found in Him. And as we glorify Him, it sets us up for the faith for the rest of the prayer.
You know, another thing that I was thinking of when Jesus taught this to His disciples and to us today, when we approach and talk to God as our Father, would that have been a bit scandalous for the Pharisees or Sadducees or people at that time to say, who does this person think he is to call God in that intimate term? Because isn't that word "father" sort of like "daddy"? Very common.
Yeah, very common word. And yes, I think that there's always that balance in our life of how we approach God. Do we approach Him trivially? Do we approach Him lightly? Do we take it because our relationship with our earthly father is so common that we're common with Him? No, we need to approach Him with reverence and awe. We need to approach Him in His greatness. We need to approach Him with a humble heart and a humble life. But He allows us to call Him our Father. That's the great promise of God. He's defining the relationship for us. Yeah, I believe it was probably a challenge for the people that were there to hear Him say, "Our Father which art in heaven." That would have been a little troubling for some of them because of that commonality that we've just talked about.
Hmm. Does anyone have thoughts about "Your kingdom come, Your will be done"? Do you pray that each and every day? Is that something that's a practice, like, "Lord, order my steps, Holy Spirit, lead me for those divine appointments"? Who has a thought or a comment on that?
Hey, Mark, just to follow up on what Pastor Mark said, "Hallowed be thy name." The Jews had such an awesome reverence for God. They did not call Him God. They called Him Hashem, which means the name. And in the culture today where God is used as a cuss word, it's countercultural what Jesus was teaching there.
Hmm. You know, I would go back to what you were just saying about "thy kingdom come." Matthew is very concerned about the kingdom. He's trying to show a Jewish audience in his writing that there is a kingdom. Jesus came and preached, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." So if you think about what is a kingdom, well, if I work at the XYZ company and they have a set of rules, here's the rules. You have to be here at this time. This is how you get days off. This is how often you get paid. This is the kind of pay that we do. Here's your benefits. That's one set of kingdom rules. If you go to work for another company, they say, here's our set of rules. It's their kingdom. You're now in that company's kingdom. You can't go to them and say, oh, well, where I worked before, they paid me every 2 weeks. They'll just look at you and say, well, we don't. We pay once a month. You know, it's you're in a new kingdom. Jesus is inviting us and encouraging us to pray for God's kingdom to come, which starts in us. Let your kingdom rule in us, and let your kingdom come upon this earth. Let your set of rules rule upon this earth. And as followers of Christ, we're to be a people who live by those rules even while the world is living contrary to those rules. We're praying for his kingdom to flow through us into the world.
Yeah, the word I just wrote down was surrender. We're kind of complying with, okay, Lord, you take charge. You're the king. I'm not.
Yeah, I'm getting pulled out of the deep end of the pool while I'm drowning by God himself. He's pulling us out of this world, and he's beginning a new kingdom in us so that we're not a part of the corruption of the day. We learn to be honest all the time. We learn to think about each other correctly all the time. We learn to respond correctly all the time. We're trying to live by the rules of the kingdom. We're praying, let your kingdom come. Let it come in our relationship, in our church. Let your kingdom come in our church. Let your kingdom come in our city. Let your kingdom come in our family. Wherever we're at, we're inviting God's kingdom to rule inside of us and inside of the places where we walk.
And this part, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, are we asking God to influence all the decisions, the things that are happening on earth so that they are pure and right and just?
We're certainly praying for God's will to be done. Think about this. Jesus prayed that. He prayed, not my will, thine be done. We pray that. Let your will be done. So I'm raising children. I have a will for them. I have something I want them to do. I have a way I want them to act. Now, I've got to pray, God, not my will. Your will be done. I may have somebody I want them to marry, and God may want them to marry somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got to give all of that stuff up and say, God, not my will, your will be done. Let your will rule in our hearts. Let your will rule in our lives. Help me to see clearly your will and walk in it, and let it rule. The will of God will bring brightness to a city. The more people in a city that live by the rules of the kingdom of God, the better that city will be, the better that community will be. On the other side of it, if you get people that call themselves a church and they get together and they're full of gossip, they're full of bitterness, they're full of power hunger, they're full of self-serving, that church becomes not a kingdom of light church, but a kingdom of darkness church. We want God's kingdom to come inside of our lives.
Listening, friend, there's so much wonderful aspects and points of application in this Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught it, so it's good enough for his disciples. It's good enough for us today. He does desire that we get to know God the Father in a personal way and to seek him in our words and our thoughts throughout the day. And we're going to continue this discussion next Friday during the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. We'll begin with, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So we'll be talking about that. And one of my favorite parts is, and lead us not into temptation. I can't wait to share that next week, because it changed my whole understanding of what is actually being said there. And so I think it'll be a blessing for us all as we continue to learn some more.
Mark, our prayer needs to change sometimes. I kind of resist some of the things I hear in American culture today about how to pray, where we're almost demanding God. We're telling God what he should do. We're coming to him saying, this is what I need, or God, I confess that you're going to give this to me. This prayer that we're reading here is a prayer that comes from a heart of, I submit to you. I submit my will to you. I submit my life to you. I give myself to you. Let your will be done, not my will be done. Let your kingdom come, not my kingdom come. I believe the heart of a true Christian understands that God knows way more than we know, so we can surrender to Him.
And I think what is modeled here and taught, before we go to God with our laundry list of all of our requests, even if we're interceding for others, it all begins with first worshiping Him, recognizing He is sovereign, He is good, He's in heaven, He's above all. We don't just jump into a conversation, begin by saying, this is what I need, like you're saying, this is what I need. We first are reverently just praising and worshiping Him. And then it's fine and wonderful. He wants to hear from us like a loving Father. And then we can share our requests, our needs, our desires. And that's why He says, give us this day our daily bread. So He's fond to answer the various requests we have, but we need to always be very intentional that He's sovereign, He's good, He's holy, He's righteous, and that when we come to Him, we need to recognize He is the good, sovereign, great God. So I hope you gleaned something from today's discussion. And thank you, my room of friends, for joining me for this, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. If you missed a portion of the broadcast, want to listen to it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and click on the Mark and Friends tab. And so today, maybe at noon, as you hear our broadcast, we always have different people saying and praying the Lord's Prayer. I hope you'll join us during the noon hour or any time, because the Lord loves to hear from you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Mark Johnson, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For